I'm a child of the church. As a young kid, I attended Carter Memorial Methodist Episcopal Church in Needham, Massachusetts. I remember things about the building's interior and exterior. I remember my oldest brother playing with a brass instrumental group on Christmas Eve. I remember classrooms and the sanctuary. They even had a pool room. I thought that was so immensely cool. I remember wanting to get home from worship and Sunday school time to watch the next episode of 12 O'Clock High on our black and white TV. In late 1968, my family moved to North Canton, Ohio, where we joined Faith United Methodist Church. Worship, Sunday school, choir rehearsals, youth group retreats, mission trips with the Appalachian Service Project, these were the regular rhythms of my family's life. Dedicated laypersons and a long-serving pastor, Reverend Irwin Jennings, joined with my parents as vessels for the Holy Spirit to awaken my life to Jesus and to Jesus' call to follow him. In the 60s and early 70s, the dominant culture supported church involvement. But beginning in the mid-70s and trending all the way to our curtain day, church involvement has been in decline as the culture has shifted. In fact, those who are actively part of a church community, even here in Grand Rapids, are actually in the minority population now. Faith is still important to people, according to sociological data, but church seems very optional at best, or worse, the church is simply viewed as irrelevant. In contrast to this trend and attitude, the Creed says, "I believe in the Holy Catholic Church." The Creed makes the church an article of faith. Now, that's bold. It's actually huge. Right up there with God the Father Almighty, His Son Jesus, Jesus' birth, His death and resurrection, and the Holy Spirit, right up with these is the church. This affirmation, this article of faith, elevates the church above the perception that it is merely a human organization, a human concoction that one participates with or not. It elevates the church above the Elks or Masons or the International Order of Odd Fellows. The church is not simply a human-created organization that has certain spiritually useful functions. The church is God's divine work built on the foundation of Jesus, his life, death, resurrection, and ascension. In fact, Jesus affirms this when he said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, "I will build my church. I will build my church." Jesus envisioned the church as part of his mission, part of his long-range plan. So, Carter Memorial and Faith United Methodist Church, these faith communities of my past, and Faith UMC of Grand Rapids do not exist because we are the most efficient organization that we can come up with. No, the church is God's idea, God's intent, God's vision, God's creation. The church is what God is doing in the world. The church is a divine work, the bride of Christ, the gathered community of the redeemed followers of Jesus. Now, believe me, there have been many low moments when I have complained to God, saying, "Really? This is the best you can do? This motley crew of distracted people is your great idea?" And God responds, "Yes, and you're one of the motliest of that motley crew." But seriously, folks, the church is the divinely established community, which alone is to exist or exhibit all the realities of the coming age, the kingdom of God, Jesus' reign, the new heaven and new earth. This is what the church is to be in this present world. This is why the United Methodist Church has its social principles as well as its articles of religion, its doctrinal statements. Now, I suspect when I said social principles, some of you rolled your eyes, and I get it. I've read the social principles a number of times and sometimes roll my eyes at some of the utopian language. But friends, it's supposed to be that way. We're advocating for the reign of God. And that means the marginalized are welcomed, the weak are defended, the cry for justice and reconciliation is lifted up, prisoners are set free, the creation is defended, and wars cease. Sounds like Jesus, and it is meant to. Several years ago, when the White House began to roll back our country's historic welcome of refugees and asylum seekers, I began to speak about this to the church I was serving. I was, if you will, fact-checking because a lot of false information was being pushed out about refugees and asylees. One day, I received an email from a member saying I was venturing into politics and I should essentially stay in my lane. She didn't get it. She thought the church was about hymns and prayers coupled with an uplifting sermon. She missed the fact that the church is God's creation to proclaim, advocate for, and work for those things that reflect the coming kingdom of God, which just happens to be good news. Listen to Jesus when he says in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Friends, the poor, the captives, the blind, the oppressed, the year of the Lord's favor, that is the kingdom of God. Can you imagine someone saying to Jesus, "Sounds like he's getting too political. I think he should stay in his lane." We, the church, are the presence of Jesus proclaiming his will and reign in the world today. Teresa of Avila, who followed Jesus in the 16th century, beautifully calls the church to be the church when she writes, "Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours." That's Saint Teresa of Avila. We would be mistaken to hear her words and think she is speaking to the individual alone. Yes, the individual, but more, she is speaking to the corporate body of Christ, the church. This is one of the reasons why I'm glad to be a follower of Jesus in the United Methodist tradition. We are not afraid to speak up and act out. It gets us in trouble. People have left our denomination saying we've become too liberal. I remember a young couple with several children coming to me following a worship service and saying, "We're hearing too much about justice here. We're going to find another church." They were saying to me, "Stay in your lane." The church, following Jesus, speaks up, acts out, and it gets messy. Yes, we talk about sexuality and gender. We talk about women's rights and justice reform. We speak out about defense budgets and racism, climate change, and economic disparities. We support healthcare and public education, and all of this gets messy, right? How do we get there? What will it look like? What will it cost me? What will it cost us? But this is the church. And I'm glad that our tradition within the larger church is willing to wade out and get messy. Jesus got messy. He got into good trouble, as John Lewis would say. Just read the Jesus story and you'll see how messy and troublesome it got. They decided they needed to silence him, so they killed him. But that wasn't the end of the story. You and I, the church, must try to faithfully be the hands, feet, eyes, and voice of Jesus in and to the world. This will be beautiful, It will be attractive. It will be hard, messy. We won't always get it right. And we'll need to apologize. We'll need to repent and turn. And some folks, some communities, some political groups, even governments won't like us. Sounds like the Jesus story. Now let's go back to the creedal statement. Holy Catholic Church. You've probably heard someone say, why Catholic? We're not Catholic. The answer, of course, is, well, you're right. We're not Roman Catholic. We're not part of that great tradition. But Roman Catholic is a capital C, and that's not the creed. Catholic in the creed is a lowercase c, meaning universal. We believe in the universal church, which means we affirm a church much bigger than our United Methodist tradition. We affirm a church much bigger than the North American church. We affirm a worldwide global church. We affirm that there are numerous traditions within the global church. We affirm that we have brothers and sisters, fellow Jesus followers in China and Zimbabwe, Russia and Denmark, Belarus and Brazil, Navajo Nation and Nigeria. The church, born in Jerusalem on Pentecost, swaddled in the cloths of our Jewish traditions and origins, is now a global movement of all tongues, tribes, and nations. Ours is a beautiful multicultural tapestry. The creed reminds us that first and foremost, we are Jesus followers, not Methodists, not Baptist, not RCA or CRC or non-denominational. We belong to the global body of Jesus, past, present, and future. This is why the creed is an ecumenical creed for Protestant, Orthodox, Roman Catholic. It is for the whole global church. Now, the creed not only says Catholic, but Holy Catholic. The word holy simply means to be set apart. Set apart for what? For God and for God's purposes. In other words, as followers of Jesus, we now belong to God and we are to desire, have an appetite for what God desires, for what God has an appetite for. And so we want what God wants to do through us and within us. What God desires for us is that we should be holy like he is holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16 gives this word of instruction. It says, like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. Instead, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And the author of 1 Peter is quoting from the book of Leviticus when he says, you shall be holy, for I am holy. That was the command from God to the Hebrew people and to us. Now, let me unpack this a bit more. First, you and I do not make ourselves holy. This is not about working it out, trying harder and harder to perfect our flawed lives. God is the one who sets us apart. God makes us holy through Jesus's life, death, and resurrection. We are forgiven, cleansed, and welcomed as daughters and sons. This is a holiness, a set-apartness that is gifted to us by Jesus. Some would say it is a positional holiness that is gifted to us. But now that it has been gifted, now that we stand in the position of this gifted holiness, we respond, we receive it, we actively engage with it, and invite the Holy Spirit of God to actualize it, to embody it in our lives and conduct. This is why in our Wesleyan heritage, we talk about growing in holiness. Some of you have perhaps heard it in your time growing up as moving in sanctification or growing in sanctification or becoming sanctified. This is the work of the Spirit making us holy. And this means our character by the power of God at work in us and our responding yes to God through the means of grace, our character is transformed to reflect the very nature of God, of Jesus. As I have said before, our lives become more aligned with God and the things of God. Our hearts get bigger. Our welcome gets bigger. Our generosity gets bigger. Our patience, our capacity to love and forgive, our sensitivity to injustice, our compassion, all of these and more get bigger because the Holy Spirit is making us holy like God is holy. Our character and conduct is transformed individually and corporately as the church to more perfectly reflect the character of Jesus to the persons and community and the world around us. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. I believe Faith UMC is one expression of this global presence of Jesus. And I believe that Jesus will build his church until the day he returns and the earth is renewed under the reign of Jesus. But what of our future? Prior to the suspension of in-person worship in early March due to the pandemic, we were 2 weeks away from a church conference in which we were to vote on the intent to be adopted by Cornerstone United Methodist Church. We had hosted several informational gatherings and then several Q&A meetings with Pastor Brad and other leadership from Cornerstone Church. Several of you had attended one of Cornerstone's worship services and spoke positively of your experience. In my opinion, and it's mine alone, if the vote had taken place, it would have been very supportive of adoption. Again, that's just my opinion. You may not share that. We could see a new chapter of vital ministry and mission to the neighborhoods and new families all around our church facility on 7th Street Northwest in Grand Rapids, Michigan. The west side is the best side. COVID has obviously delayed all of this. We don't know how COVID might change the timeline or even change Cornerstone's mind regarding a new satellite. We don't know, and we won't know until we all walk out from beneath the pall of this pandemic. But here's what I do believe. I believe in the Holy Spirit's work among us and all around us. I believe that God wants his church to flourish and reach people of every tribe, nation, ethnic group, and language. I believe the Holy Spirit was at work through Pastor Brad and Cornerstone leaders, as well as in our lives at Faith United Methodist. Like a matchmaker, the Holy Spirit brought us together to see new visions and dream new dreams like the prophet Joel spoke about. I believe the Holy Spirit is still at work, and we can trust the Holy Spirit as we wait for the cloud of pandemic to lift and we re-engage with each other and with Cornerstone. I believe in our future because I believe in the Holy Spirit and I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Would you join me, please, as we pray? Holy God, Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the church is your idea, your vision, your creation to embody your presence, to proclaim your reign, to participate in acts of compassion and justice, worship and devotion. We, your church, are your bride and your joy. Forgive us when we make your church an option. We choose a service we attend, or simply a building we go to. Forgive us when we make your church about us and our little fiefdoms of power and influence. Holy Spirit, make us a beautiful bride. Remove from us those attitudes and habits that distract us from being the fullness of Jesus to each other and within our community. Give to us a vision of your kingdom and the courage to act upon that vision to pursue it. We pray for Cornerstone, for Pastor Brad, and the leadership. Sustain them and us in this pandemic. Bring us both through these days and into a near future of renewed health and vital ministry that will continue to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Amen. And now, my friends, as we have been doing throughout this series, I invite you to join me again as we give mind, heart, and voice to the great ecumenical creed of the church, saying together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.